We're glad you have joined us today on the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We believe you will hear a message that will minister to you and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Let's listen now to the message.
Let me just start by saying, you're not applauding me. You're applauding what he has done in me. Because you wouldn't applaud the me BC. I can just tell you that. And Mike and Shawnee have been good friends of ours for a long time. And when we were ordained in the ministry, one of the elders asked me a question. He said, "What kind of men would you pick to be your disciples?" I said, "Men like Mike Carroll, carpenter, who will get back to back with you and go toe to toe." And that's the kind of friends he is. He's a man's man, and I love him. He's been pulled out of his comfort zone. He hates change. We change buildings and he walks around trying to find his chair. Yeah. God's dragging us out of our comfort zones. You may be in this place this morning. And what I want to tell you is, there is a faith that is so far outside of our human reasoning, our doctrinal boundaries, our traditions of men, our religious mindsets that we put ourselves in. And God is dragging us out of those comfort zones into the battle zones. And I tell you that because I told some young men from Utah who are Mormon, who we've been ministering to for years, and we do a rodeo camp, and they come to our school there at that rodeo camp, and we've just been ministering the gospel to them. And they were at the ranch in August. And I noticed one of them was on the phone, and I asked him, I said, "Is everything all right back home?" He said, "No, sir, it's not." He said, "We haven't had rain in 2 years." And these are ranchers. And he said, "I feel bad I'm not there to help my dad haul water to our cows out in the mountains." So the next morning I walked in and I had my Bible at breakfast. There's seven of them. And those boys were there around the island, and I laid my Bible down, opened it to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And I said, "Start reading." And he went to reading. I said, "Read it out loud." He said, "It shall be." And I said, "Stop." I said, "Read it again." "It shall be." And I said, "Read it again." "It shall be." I said, "Read it again." "It shall be." And I said, "Okay, don't ever read past those kind of things without considering. It shall be." So he goes on reading. "I'll bless your livestock. I'll bless your kneading bowls. I'll bless your womb," and it goes on through the blessings, and it gets down to 12, and it says, "And I'll give you rain in its season." I said, "Stop." I said, "Read it again." He said, "And I'll give you rain in its season." And I seen tears starting to well up in his eyes. And I said, "What did verse 1 say?" He said, "It shall be." And I said, "Don't ever forget that. I said, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to believe God that His word is true. We're going to believe God that what He says is true. And if we do what it says, He'll hold up His end if we'll do our end. I get a phone call a week later. Can you put that picture up? Mud. Mud. He's muddy. You shout it out, baby. That's mud. They've had to cancel ropings and rodeos. What I'm here to tell you is, you sang a song this morning, I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I'm telling you right now, you either believe that or you don't. Because I'm telling you right now, we don't like things that we can't control. And I'm here to tell you right now, you can't control God. Yeah. But you can get on the wave and ride it. Yeah. And if we do not realize that God is calling us out of the comfort zone and into the combat zone, we'll never see that kind of stuff. God is waiting on you to start stepping out in faith and declaring that His word's true and He can bring rain in its season. But most of the time we just sit back and, I want more of you, God. See, we've allowed limitations of doctrines and traditions and religion to wall us in to where we lost our voice. One woman took prayer out of school and we were singing victory, victory in Jesus. Power, power, wonder working power in the blood. And we never thought about the words. Those songs are great. But if you don't think of what the meaning is. And one woman took prayer out of school while we were just singing and doing our religious duty. Come on. Yeah. Title of my message, Suit Up. It's time to get it on. We've been sidelined too long. Yeah. We've been on defense when God wants to put us on offense. We've just been trying to maintain. That ain't God. I can't find it anywhere in the Bible that I'm just supposed to maintain. Come on. And grow weary while trying to do good. That's not what it says. It says don't grow weary in doing good. See, we've created a church culture in America that has been spiritually blind and spiritually dull of hearing. You can't win a battle if you can't see and hear what's going on. And we've ignored the spiritual realm so long. And we've been getting whipped by it. And we just, well, I'm saved. Well, I'm saved. Yeah. And we just want our little corner in heaven. Blah. See, when we don't have spiritual ears or eyes, we lose our ability to fulfill the mandate that God has set for our life of possessing and taking and bearing fruit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How can we bring thy kingdom if we can't hear or see what's going on? In 2020, peeled back the layer of the how shallow of faith. We were just little puddles of faith. And God said, you know what? I'm going to shove them out. Come on. See, we just go through the motions with no depth of faith or trust to stand on God's word. And let me tell you about standing on God's word. When we stand on God's word, that don't mean we vapor lock and do nothing. What standing on God's word means is it's military. It means you identify contact. Okay, I'm getting fired on my marriage. My marriage is under attack. You identify where the attack is coming from, and then you move into position. And then you recover. Lord, I thank you that you have called us to this marriage. Yes. That one could put 1,000, two could put 10,000. Yes. Father, I thank you that my finances are under attack. I thank you, you said you'll rebuke the devourer on my behalf. Yes. Lord, I thank you, your word says that I've got symptoms, but Lord, your word says I'm healed. Yes. Yeah, yeah. You're not standing there vapor lock going, oh my God, how's God going to pull this off? And that's where the church has been. Because we haven't known the word and we're like, well, I don't know. The disciples died and the gifts are all gone and I don't know. That's a bunch of junk. And it's a lie straight from the pit of hell. You have every gift, everything to fulfill the mandate God put on your life. And we've let the devil run roughshod over us, and he's sitting there firing at us, and he's got us pinned down. But I'm telling you right now, identify the contact, move into a position, and cover. That's possessing, taking, and bearing fruit. Come on. But too many times we sit there and go, well, God's mad at me. You know, I'm going through all these problems. And I'm under attack. God, where are you? Why, God, what is going on? God's dragging you out of your comfort zone and he's dragging you into the combat zone because nothing grows in the comfort zone. He's trying to get you because the anointing that is on your life, if you don't go through the pressure and the fire, you'll never be able to handle the responsibility of the anointing on your life.
Wow.
I tell people all the time, we were squeezed into our anointing. Pure hell. I didn't even know if I knew God. Come on. Because we're taught to that, oh, man, when you get saved, that's you got it all. You got salvation. But your anointing, and to walk in, it's going to cost you everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's just not, I'm not called to be a preacher. No, you're called to be a businessman or a construction worker, or you're called to pray over the lady in the grocery store, or you're called to pray over. We've made it to where we put the baptismal up here and it should be out there in your front yard. The baptismal should be in your front yard. In your feedlot. Come on, I've baptized people in the feedlot. And they're still serving the Lord today. Can you believe that? In a nasty water trough. Yeah. And you know what happens? You baptize somebody in the feed trough or in a water trough, and you know what happens? You get religious junk. They've got to be baptized in a river where it'll wash away their sins. That's for real. That, I'm not making that up. And I'm like going, you've just nullified what Jesus did. You've insulted the Spirit of grace. God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, that's right.
I could tell you some stories. See, he has already established his word, his covenant, his authority and power, and then said, here, go do business with this until I come back. See, the body of Christ has got to learn we are here to occupy and steward. That's why we're here. The mandate has never changed on man. From the very beginning, when God set Adam and Eve in the garden, the mandate was keep, cultivate, and bear fruit. That mandate never changed all through the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. All grace. We need grace for our marriage. We need grace for our finances. We need grace for raising our kids. Yes. Little heathens. Come on. We need grace to go to work. We need grace to sit in traffic and have grace. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, come on, you may have an abundance for every good deed. An abundance. Look that word up. That you have an abundance for every good deed. And it is written, he scattered abroad. He gave to the poor. His righteousness abides forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing to and increase the harvest of your righteousness. If you will, he will. When you come under attack, and you come and sit in my office and say, man, we are under attack. Now, first thing I'm going to ask you, are you a tither? Do you tithe? Well, don't, that's between me and God. No, I'm trying to find a point to, come on, where's this contact coming from? Because if you ain't tithing, he ain't rebuking the devourer, and you're not tied to the covenant, you're just out there wandering around. Oh, come on. Well, we don't talk about tithing. Yeah, you ran the last five pastors off because they're trying to get you blessed. Man. That ain't even in my notes. Because he talked about tithing too much. No, he's trying to get you blessed. Yes, Lord. I'll do it myself. See, his word's already established. Yeah. Only the devil wouldn't want you tithing and giving and sowing seed. Only the devil would want you not to. Come on. Only the devil would want you to eat your seed. Oh. See, we've got to learn. God, is this seed for me to sow? Or is this to plant? Or is this to get? Come on. Wow. See, we got to get wise with this deal. I'm telling you, me and Wendy been broke, had $20 left to our name. And she said, I feel like, it, when I say broke, I mean we couldn't even pay attention. And it, she said, I think that God wants me to give this $20. And I keep seeing this little black lady with a hat with a flower on coming out of the at the grocery store. And I'm like, well, why prolong the inevitable? I mean, $20 ain't going to change what we got going. Let's sow it. And sure enough, she goes to Brookshire Brothers to the grocery store and is walking in the grocery store, and here comes the little black lady with the hat on with the flower, and she gave her that $20. We sowed the very first bull ever born to us. I borrowed a bull, put on three cows. A bucking bull went to the NFR, put on three cows in the back pasture, worked a deal with that guy. And we had one bull calf out of those three cows, and we sowed that into a ministry. Now we've got over 150 bulls. Our grandson won. We had the world champion bucking bull. This year we had the reserve world champion. Come on, don't tell me God won't. We've gave away trailers. We've gave away cars. We've gave away our trailer house. And listen, you can't. You've got to get a hold of this. It's uncomfortable to do those things because your human reasoning is going, man, you really need to sell that and you can put that money down on a car or you can do this. That's not what I'm doing. I'm connected to the kingdom.
That's right.
And I'm going to find me some good ground to sow into and I'm going to start sowing. Because here's what's happening. There's a dangerous thing called comfort. Deuteronomy 31. Verse 20, for when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and are satisfied and become prosperous, then they will turn to other gods and serve them and spurn me and break my covenant. That's a dangerous place to be. Dangerous place to be. We've got to move out of our comfort zones. And let me tell you something. There's nothing more. Every one of us are going to be in a fight. It ain't a matter of if. It's just when. I never could make sense of my calling. Because I'm not your pat you on the back and, oh, it's going to be okay kind of guy. No. If you don't start speaking the word, you're going to die. That's this guy. If you don't stand up and quit trying and wean yourself off this path, get on the word of God, the pure milk of the word. Quit depending on somebody else for your faith. You get it. Because that's where God's trying to get you. You're not going to make it. You know the reason why religions get so, they blow up and they, because Christians don't know the word. Christians haven't known what they believe. So they just slam their door in Jehovah's Witnesses' faces and, you know, and it just fuels their fire. Come on. See, we have to guard ourselves against being satisfied and comfortable in our prosperity because there's no growth in the comfort zone. See, we get stuck in these ruts and it becomes mundane and we're unaware of danger of settling. Our spiritual eyes and ears getting dull. We're just wandering around in a lukewarm Christianity. Because see, there is a thing that historians will tell you that there is a disease of victory. And that disease of victory is when you are unaware of the capabilities of your enemy. And you get too reliant on your own. And then we began to start wondering, God, why am I going through this? I'm just doing your work. I'm just, those are the things we said. Lord, I just want to serve you. Why am I going through all this hell? Because I'm trying to grow you up. I'm trying to get you somewhere where you can handle the responsibility and the anointing so that it doesn't consume you when I take you from glory to glory to glory.
Yeah.
See, when you try to jump ahead of the process, it'll consume, the weight of glory of God. Because here's the deal. When the Holy Spirit shows up in here, the Bible says He works with us. And when men begin to take the clapping on themselves, come on, you can't handle that. You got to keep that in check. See, we tend to lose our hunger at times. People ask me all the time, well, who you think's going to win the NFR? Who you think's going to win the Super Bowl? Who you think's going to win the World Series? My number one answer, whoever's hungriest, whoever wants it. We had a saying at our rodeos, you got to want it. Because that's one thing about what we do in the industry. You ain't going to just go in there and just kind of ride out this comfort zone. There ain't no comfort in rodeo. Zero. You're never going to be just totally healthy and feel good all the time. Just ain't going to happen. You got to learn to get comfortable and uncomfortable. Does that make sense? See, Israel was going somewhere. Man, they were excited when God delivered them out of Egypt. Yep. When you first get saved, man, you feel... How many of y'all, when you first got saved and had a revelation of Jesus and the forgiveness and that weight and that burden lifted off of you? Yeah. Yeah. See, the rest of y'all need to get saved. But you feel that weight and that burden lifted off of you, and you are just like, man, you're excited for what comes. And all of a sudden, the first thing that comes is hell. And so then it kind of, you know how, you know, you're moving, you're going somewhere, and all of a sudden the new wears off and the honeymoon's gone. And I mean, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. You know, love is blind, marriage is an eye-opener. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And that happens. Because life starts to happening. You got drive, you're ready to win, you're ready to fight, and then all of a sudden life. See, there's a principle called seed, time, and harvest, and it applies to everything in life. There's no way to get around that principle. Seed, time, and harvest. And it's usually seed, time. And it's how we handle the time. If we're cultivating, protecting, you don't just plant a seed and let it go. Oh, man. If you don't ever water a plant, what happens, Wendy? You flatline them. She tries. Listen, they were delivered out of bondage. They crossed through the Red Sea. God's moving powerfully. Then comes that get to know Him part. People love God, they just don't know Him.
Yeah. Wow.
They don't know how to trust Him. They don't know how to stand believing. They don't know what that means. I'm telling you, standing don't mean just stand there. No, it means to keep speaking His word. It keeps praying, keep praising, keep doing whatever it takes to see. Come on.
Yeah, for sure.
That pesky old time. A whole generation who experienced God's power. They walk through the Red Sea. This is how scary this is. They, all the plagues and things that God did, there's no denying it. And they walked through the Red Sea. Could you imagine? I'm the guy that would be going.
Yeah.
I mean, Wendy'd be going, Dave. You try to catch a fish. Come on. You know people had to be in awe of God. Just awe. None of those people went to the promised land. You know why? Because they got comfortable in just enough. I'm just saved enough. I said the prayer. Now I'm going to wait to go to heaven. Man. Never walked in the promise. You want to know why we got shallow puddles of faith? It's because we never stepped outside the box of our human reasoning and said, God, I believe that all things are possible to him who believes. Yeah. Regardless of what my eyes see, what my ears hear, I believe you can do it.
Yes, sir.
I believe it'll happen. Lord, I'm declaring your word. I'm going to praise you for it. I'm going to be thankful, and I ain't going to gripe and complain, because them griping complainers never got to cross over. Come on, are you ready to cross over this morning? Because I tell you, I'm ready to cross. I'm ready to go. We got a whole generation that's ready to cross. We must always guard our heart from settling for just enough and for comfort and prosperity. See, there's a push-pull here. You listen. Because I'm the... let's go get it and just run into it headlong. But as I get older, you got to be aggressive, but you can't be reckless.
Yeah, sure. That's a good word for it.
I've been reckless. Ain't we mine? I've been there. One time me and Mike was crossing this creek, and Mike is in a lot better shape than I am. And I said, I'm going first, because if you don't make it, I dang sure know I ain't going to make it. I didn't make it. Come on. We got to get aggressive, but we got to learn to push and pull here. We can't be just... reckless. We've got to be concise. Come on. Identify where contact is coming from. And then we move to that position. And then we begin to cover it in prayer and praise and the word. Come on. Hosea 10:12, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground. And fallow ground is unproductive ground. If there's areas in our life that we need to break it up because it ain't producing anything that's good, we got to break it up. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to know everything. You just got to be willing to say, look, I'm going to break this up so that some seed can get in here and grow. Salvation is not all we need. Our little corner in heaven is not all we need. When we take on that mentality, that is hiding our talent and burying it in the ground. And we know how that turned out. Yeah. Depart from me. You wicked, lazy slave. The question that's going to be asked when you get to heaven is not if you were a Baptist, a Catholic, a Methodist. It ain't going to be that. What'd you do with my son?
Wow.
What did you do with the anointing and the power and the keys that were given? What did you do? Chapman, that is going to be a powerful youth deal. The question we all need to ask, who do you say Jesus is? Going to a convenience store, ask your waitress, who do you say Jesus is? We was in a little town, nowhere. It was not even a town. It was just a convenience store out in the middle of nowhere in Wyoming. And we asked the little lady behind the deal, "Who do you say Jesus is?" And she just broke down crying. She was in a bind. Who do you say Jesus is? Let them answer it. Let them answer it. I don't repeat a prayer with people anymore. I don't say, "Repeat this prayer and you'll be saved." I don't. Here's what I do. You pray. I've seen grown men, when they pray, they break. That's where God wants you. That's right where God wants you. Because if you don't break, then it crushes you. But I'm telling you, I'll sit there and make them pray out loud, and I mean they just break. It's the most beautifulest thing I've ever seen in my life. And when they die, their kids, "I don't know if he..." I said, "He made it. He'll be there. He'll be there." Come on, are y'all with me? Salvation isn't all you need. Why would God say put on the full armor of God? The full armor, not just the helmet of salvation. The full armor of God. Too many Christians are butt naked. That's all they got. Got my helmet. I'm good to go. You're naked. Go put the rest of the armor on. You're going to get badly beat up. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. See, don't allow your flesh to talk you out of this right here. This is a commandment to be strong and courageous. "Well, I ain't seen it on the 10. Oh, we'll get there. The word strong means conqueror. Be constant. Now more than ever, we need Christians who are constant, who are committed, who are faithful, who are steadfast. Look what it says. Here's what the word strong means. Encourage self. How many times have you had David? "Oh my soul, what is wrong with you?" Be established, harden, hold fast. Behave self valiantly. 2020, they weren't strong.
That's true.
Where's my dot?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Stand behind the glass. Put your mask on. Oh, nothing made me more mad. I would literally walk out from behind the glass unmasked, off my dot. I would walk in the store and I would hear, and Wendy would be like, "Oh God." I'd walk in the store and all you'd hear is, "Sir, sir, 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 sir." I just keep walking. Act like I ain't heard nothing. Come on. Behave self-valiantly. Maintain. I love this one. Be the man. Courageous. Here's what it means. Be steadfastly minded. Come on. James tells us, for all those that say, "Well, this is Old Testament, preacher." No. James tells us, Don't be double-minded. A man who is back and forth, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. No, I'm standing on the Word. Here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to believe. And if I die believing that, victory. Victory. Come on. Death is the final victory. Oh, man. See, when we decide to stop wandering around, the very first command is to be strong and courageous. See, with anxiety at an all-time high in America, we got to get back to teaching absolute truth, biblical truth. Because we have to change the worldview. That's what Charlie Kirk did. Charlie Kirk died doing exactly what Jesus did, doing exactly what Paul, Peter, John, all of them. He lived an open display in front of everybody speaking truth, and what got him killed was people were listening. Be bold and courageous. Be willing to give them a mic and listen. And here's that push and pull with truth is be compassionate, knowing that they're just deceived. They're transgender because that's what they've been taught. That it's okay to do that. Because they haven't been taught absolute truth. And so many of them are wondering what gender they are is because it's what's been taught. And we've got to have compassion for those people and say, look, no, there's just two. See, that's that being aggressive but not reckless. Because let me tell you, at the end of the day, you're accountable for what you come encounter. Here's what I want to tell you. We've got to get mission focused. We've got to have our mindset, hey, wait a minute, this ain't just about me going to church and doing my little duty thing. No, we are mission-minded, mission-focused. Here's where we're going. We don't care who gets the credit, and we're going to see God do something. The reason some of y'all ain't got titles in here yet is because you can't handle it, because it might have to be taken from you. The hardest thing to do is give somebody a title and take it from them because they're not mature enough to handle it. Come on. See, we can't fulfill this very first command. We can't go possess and bear fruit. If we can't be strong and courageous, we can't possess and bear fruit. And that's what we're supposed to do. It all hinges on being strong and courageous. God never changes or adds on exemptions. Y'all with me? He never changes. Listen, we can't win battles with a victim mentality. And that's what we've taught a whole generation. Well, you're the victim. Blah. Everything's fair. Everybody gets a trophy. No, life don't owe you spit. It don't owe you nothing. What are you going to do? Are you going to get up and go to work? Come on, the greatest thing that ever happened is shut the government down. Shut it down. You know who it doesn't affect? People who can get up and do their... The government shutting down is not going to hurt me one bit. I'm going to move on. I watch people stand on the bridge all the time after hurricanes. Nobody sent a bus to me. No, come on, boys, load your stuff up. We're going somewhere. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to whine and cry and complain. No, God delivered us. We're out of here. Come on, we're going to get a job. We're going to rebuild. I ain't waiting on FEMA. Oh, man. See, we got to get out of that mindset.
Yes, sir.
That's why God told them, be strong and very courageous. Joshua 1:6. Have I not commanded you?
Yes.
Uh-oh. He's reiterating, just so you'll understand where you're going, did I not command you? Look what he says. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And when we're not strong and courageous, here's what we're saying. God, I just really don't trust you to pull this off. What I'm telling you is, this ain't church as usual anymore. This ain't the same old deal that we're doing anymore. We're going to praise different. We're going to pray different. We're going to fellowship different. We're going to go out in our community different. Because this church is full, not because it's out on the main road. It's because of the people sitting in here.
Yeah.
You're going out there excited. God's doing something. God's moving. And you've got to come see what's going on. And they're like going, well, I don't know. I've never been to church. Oh, well, let's pray real quick. You can get saved. Listen, I'll go baptize you. I'll go fill the bathtub up. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Oh, the Holy Ghost? Yeah, yeah. You want to speak in tongues too? Yeah. If it's from God, I want it.
Right. Come on.
God, listen, here's what you got to realize too. God will use your enemies to mature you. He will use your enemies to mature you. And a lot of you have been under attack. Things are under attack. You're going through some things. And we get to doing the why God thing. No. Here's what he's going to do. He's like, you know what? I'm going to use this for your good. I'm going to grow you up. I'm going to mature you. I'm fixing to make you the warrior you never thought you could be.
Man.
See, you don't even know what's on the inside of you. But let me tell you something. God knows how to get that out. There is years of breeding in bucking bulls. But it don't just, when you see them on TV, that's because they've been years in training. That's because we've hauled them. That's because we've put them through the paces, getting their mind right. Listen, they're wild. They're idiots. We all come into the house idiots. A mess. Broken. Not knowing the abilities that we've been... And somebody that knows that has been there, come on, has to start making you respectful. Making you understand there's more inside of you. We don't break their spirit. We focus it on the mission of what has to happen. Come on. If you've got a rifle that's not in sight, you go to somebody that can and say, here, I need you to sight this in. Because a half an inch at 100 yards is going to, when you start shooting at 5, 6, and 7, it's called MOA. You got to go somewhere where you can hone that in. That's why this house is so important. Because they're going to help hone you in. Why? Because they've been out of sight before. And they know, here's where we're going. Here's what God's doing. Come on, are y'all with me? Remember, it's trial by fire. I'll bring the third part through the fire. Who can endure? See, these are all things that God says. Who can endure the day of His coming? Those who've been through the fire, been through the trial, and all the mess has been burnt off, where they've been focused and sighted in, and they know where they're going.
Yep. Yeah.
Come on, are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Judges 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war. Those who had not experienced it formally. God didn't remove all the enemies out of Israel because He wanted that next generation to know how to fight. And here's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves with a generation that is ready to go fight. They have been woken up. Come on. There's an awakening in this country. And they're going to start coming to us going, hey, I'm ready to get in the fight. And if we're going, well, did you say the prayer? Then just wait to go to heaven. The most horriblest thing I ever heard. I had a man come up to me. Very prominent businessman in our area. He said, well, I got my last one to the altar, and then they didn't go back to church anymore.
Man, wow.
Well, I got my last one to the altar finally.
Man.
Drug addicts died. Devil took them out. Because they bought into, oh, well, once saved, always saved. I can just kick back and do whatever I want. Live that lie until it wiped his whole family out and wiped him out. Come on. We've got to learn how to war. We've got to learn that there's more to this word than just, come on. Ephesians 4:11, and I'll be closing. Listen, let me say this. God doesn't want to change how He made you. For you men, this is what always used to bog me down. Because growing up in church, it was all the can'ts. They're no fun. The men are neutered. They don't. I don't want to go down that road. Come on. God didn't want to change me to be neutered, not having fun. Right? No. He wants to train you for how He's built you. He wants to train you for what He's called you to do. He wants to anoint you. He wants to harden you. He wants to be able to put responsibility on you so you can occupy, steward, break up fallow ground. Come on. And trust you with more seed. More seed. Listen, the reason you just got a little bitty handful of a little bag of seed is because you hadn't planted it. Come on. Learn. Ask God. If somebody gives you $100, ask God, well, is this seed or is this for me? Do I need to plant it? What do I need to do? Come on. Ephesians 4:11, and He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body. This is how you stay mission focused. But the problem is there's two guys that have been extinct, the apostle and the prophet. The apostle is the man who starts the church, and he's backed by the kingdom of God. The prophet is the guy, and the reason you take those two guys out of warfare is because the apostle bring order and discipline to your life. But when we started letting the sheep shepherd the shepherd, come on. Then we got rid of the apostle, the father figure that brings discipline and order and correction. And you ain't going to look in the mirror and go, you know what, you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's so true. Wow. It's really good.
But a father will tell you, look, don't be weird.
Yeah.
You're being weird. Quit acting like that.
Yeah.
Get your thumb out of your mouth. Come on.
Yeah.
The reason you're under attack is because you don't tithe.
Oh.
Yeah. And you're not tied to the covenant.
Mm. Wow. So powerful.
Come on. And here's what the prophet does. Prophet's the guy over there that you take your gun and say, here, sight this in. He's the one that tells the church, here's where we're going, boys. Here's where we're going. The evangelist says, here's how we're going to do it. See, we've allowed the evangelist to run around with his hair slicked back in loafers and slacks. Blow in, blow up. And hype you all up. Come on. No, the evangelist is teaching you how to go out there and win people, baptize them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, pray over them, lay hands on them, bring them in here delivered, healed, recovered, and then they come in and they get sighted in.
Yeah.
Because that's what it says. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. You're the saints. But we've made it a building full of ain'ts.
Oh.
Ain'ts and can'ts and...
Wow. Man.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Man, that's a good one.
Because there's a fire building. And you feel it. There's a fire building and you feel it. There's a fire building and you feel it. There's a fire building and you feel it, but you just haven't quite figured out that's God wanting to get it out of control. He wants to breathe on it. He wants to breathe on it. And he's just been stoking, pushing the pile up, tightening it up. Come on. And too many times we're... Because it's uncomfortable. Oh man, I'll never forget praying. We're in the stands at a rodeo, and I'm praying for this lady. She comes up and she goes, I need you to pray for my daughter. And I was like, okay, let's pray. And I went to lay hands on her, and the Holy Spirit said, it ain't about her daughter, it's about her. She's living with a man and she needs to get that right before everything else can get right. And I'm like, I said, ma'am, let's pray for you. You're living with a man. And broke like that. Loud. I went. Uncomfortable. Come on. Come on, the apostle is God's messenger who establishes the church. You forgot that here. You call him pastor, but he's the apostle. He's the father figure. He's the one that is bringing order, correction. And I know him well enough. He's not going to be drug around. Come on, I'm telling you. He loves you enough to tell you. He loves you enough to let you go. If that's what it takes. He loves you enough to help you grow. To tell you the truth. Come on, are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
It's a hard place to be. It's a weight. But he's walked this out.
Yep.
Him and his wife have walked this out. See, we're going somewhere. And God's bringing this back to order. The way his church was meant to be.
Absolutely. That's right.
With order. Being in right alignment with the kingdom of God. Because I'm telling you, if you are just crazy enough to believe it, God's crazy enough to back you up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come on. Lord, I thank you for the rain in Utah.
Amen.
October was the wettest October in Utah's history. They said, you know how they do. Oh, we'll never get these ponds filled back up. We'll never get, guess what? Full. And I'm just foolish enough to believe that them Mormon boys one day, when they can think on their own, say, you know what? We felt the Spirit of God. Take me to your God. Come on, can you be bold enough to stand there and not go, oh, well, y'all are just a cult? Or can you stand there and love them and show them Christ? See, we're the body of Christ being built up to the fullness, every joint fitting together. Come on. That's our job. We are to bring thy kingdom come in the midst of all other dark kingdoms. We're to be the shining light, not go through there with our nose going, oh, I ain't talking to you, I ain't. Man, are y'all with me? Y'all staying with me?
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.